come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants.
Des Moines, home for sports, news, and a whole lot more.
I'm addicted.
Yeah, I listen to you all the time.
The Big Talker, 1700 KBGG, a Cumulus station.
This is Tiki Barber with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. To rest or not to rest? That is the dilemma facing a handful of NFL teams as they prepare for Week 17 of the NFL season. For the losing teams of the league, the answer is easy. If you have a group of banged-up vets or you want to ward off incentive bonuses, then sit your guys and get some needed real game experience for the younger players. For those already locked into the playoffs, the debate between rust and rest is more complicated. To answer this question, I think back to the preseason and those handful of games that don't matter. Guys are loose, they feel good, they joke around on the sideline, they're relaxed, which is exactly what you don't want for a team bound for the postseason. It's easy to say, don't worry, they'll turn it back on. But flipping that switch isn't always so simple. If I'm a head coach faced with this decision, I don't hesitate. You're playing, gentlemen. It's what you're paid to do. I'm Tiki Barber. CBS
Sports Radio. 2018 is not just a new year. It's also an opportunity to grow your business with top talent. But how do you find it? ZipRecruiter. One click sends your job ad to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. Their smart matching technology will instantly alert quality candidates about your job. That means you'll start getting great candidates with the right experience almost as soon as your job is posted. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. The right candidates are out there. This is how you find them. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
People from businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. We're so confident ZipRecruiter will get you better results than anywhere else. We'll let you try it free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/build. That's ZipRecruiter.com/build. ZipRecruiter.com/build.
Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Swing it a miss. Slam dunk. Touchdown. Sports.
It's Jimmy B and TC.
Oh, yeah. The word you're looking for is wow.
Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody. We've got one more hour left on the books here as we take you all the way to 6 o'clock. Coming up, Ken Silverstein, Big Ten Conference Insider, and Derek Peck from Hawkeye Heaven will join us. Ken at 5:15, and then Derek at about 5:40 to close out the show. Trent, we've got you and I basketball tonight too, right?
Yeah, very important one, obviously, for the Panthers to get off to a good start here. A home game against Southern Illinois, and... Well, the Salukis, solid. They're okay. They're decent, but not anything to write home about. This is a game certainly you and I should win. And they got to put together a run themselves. You know, we talked about runs for Iowa, what Iowa State has to do in the beginning portions of their schedule. Same thing for you and I. It's going to have to be consistently good this year. And I did a little sleuthing earlier today. I was digging deeper into the schedules, running a couple of projections, and if you and I can get to 14-4 this year, 14-4 in conference play, so
okay,
run the table, we'll say at home, go 9-0 at home in the conference, and then 5-4 on the road. That gets them to 14-4 overall. If they do that, and they're not losing to a bottom feeder, you know, you can't afford a loss to Drake, Indiana State, one of the teams at the bottom that'll hurt your RPI. Their RPI will still pretty much be in good shape. Looking at the projections here at the end of the season, if they would do that, their RPI would be at 42. Strength of schedule overall would be 45. Their non-conference strength of schedule, ninth in the country, and a non-conference RPI of 33. So if they do that, they have a chance to build a resume. And we've talked about the struggles of the Big Ten. The Pac-12 this year, though at the top, Arizona State's very good. Arizona's finding their way back. UCLA, they'll be a tournament team. After that, there's a big, big step back from the big Pac-12 this season. You got to get bids, Jimmy B. And you and I, well, they scheduled the right way in the non-conference. They won the games that they needed to. UNLV, Texas Arlington, SMU, North Carolina State. Even with those losses to Carolina, Villanova, Iowa State, and Xavier, they're in some good shape, but it all starts tonight. Beat Southern Illinois, get on a good start.
I'm with you 100% on that. The thing that is kind of scary to me is, and it's been this last, I guess 2-3, maybe even 4 years now, Trent, is that the committee has been just sort of pushing the mid-majors aside and taking major schools that have 500 records. And I find that a little disconcerting. I would think you might as well, since you went to UNI. And I would hope that trend would end. I mean, we just talked earlier on the program with Tom Cakert about the Big Ten and how it's not a very good conference this year, with the exception of the top two teams, Michigan State and Purdue. And, you know, if they only get five teams in, and you're right, they got to fill out those spots. I got you. But do you think that they would finally take another look at mid-majors and award like two bids from the Valley, two bids from the Mountain West? Could you see that happening or not?
Yes, I can, because you award teams, not conferences. It is not about this conference gets X amount of bids because this conference is ranked in the top two or three in the RPI. It is about teams. Teams have to build a resume, and they have been very steadfast. From the mid-major ranks, if you want to get an at-large bid and you don't have a strong conference, what do you have to do? You have to challenge yourself in the non-conference. Well, nobody in the country has challenged themselves more than what UNI has done this year. It's the number two most difficult non-conference schedule right now in the country. Not of the mid-majors, not of the MVC, in the country. That is what they did. And if UNI does that, and they win a regular season crown, and they get knocked off in the championship game and fall in a tight one to whoever it may be, Valpo, Missouri State, whoever, they lose that game, and they don't award this team for playing this, then what's the point? What's the point for UNI and going and playing North Carolina? What's the point for them and going down to the Paradise Jam and playing in Villanova and NC State and SMU and Arizona was there and Purdue's there? Well, what's the point? If it's not going to matter, if you're going to go and do what they ask you to do and you get nothing for it, then just go and schedule like Iowa does and bring in Alcorn State and bring in garbage teams like that, because it doesn't matter. It would send a terrible message if they do that.
I'm with you 100%. I really am. And I'm sure refresh my memory. Was it 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years ago now, was it Southwest Missouri State that won like 27 games and didn't get in, something like that?
No, they didn't win 27 games. It wasn't that. They had the best RPI, though, that was left out. Their RPI that year, I want to say it was maybe 23, 24, something like that.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm fine with that, because you can maneuver the RPI to make things look better. You look at that resume for Missouri State that year, it wasn't very good. That's kind of the dirty secret about it. Yes, their RPI number looked good, but there weren't a bunch of quality victories. There weren't a bunch of top 50 victories in there. They didn't go on the road and beat anybody that you look at as a high-quality team. I didn't have a huge problem with that, because that was strictly, hey, your RPI number is good, you should be in. Now, that's not what this should be. And the other thing you have to remember this year is it's not just going to be RPI. This is a year that they are now officially. They started the last couple of years to look at the other metrics out there. This season, it will be part of the criteria. It'll be part of the team sheet for every team in the country. So when they're looking at teams, it's not just going to have the RPI number there, though that's still a big component of it. It'll also have KenPom numbers. It'll also have Sagarin and a few other rating systems that are out there. I think you're going to get a truer measure here, and you're hopeful that it's going to lead to more UNIs putting together a schedule and a resume good enough to get in, that to look at them. You know, one of the great cases is Monmouth a couple of years ago, how they were left out.
Yes.
Won 27 games, won the regular season crown. On top of it, they went out and challenged themselves. They played Georgetown that year. They played a bunch of teams from power conferences. Their problem was a couple of the teams weren't as good as they anticipated, but there also has to be a component. They tried. You know, they tried to do exactly what they wanted, and still they were left out. It's the frustrating moments. The committee, those guys drive me insane sometimes.
I'm with you, because sometimes you just can't figure out what the hell are they looking at, you know? And I hope that they will indeed put some more mid-majors in that are quality teams this year. I hope that takes place. Kent Silverstein is going to join us right after we take this time out. And we'll do a lot of Big Ten conversation with him. And then after that, Derek Peck, Hawkeye Heaven, coming up for you right here on the Big Talker, Jimmy B and TC, 1700.
Afternoons, we talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Hey guys, Trent Condon here from 1700. You've been hearing me for a couple of months talk about New Leaf Wellness. I'm on a couple of programs helping me lose weight, and it has worked outstanding for me. The two treatment programs that I'm on right now, the GAC and the MIC, helping me with my energy levels, weight loss, increasing muscle tone. It's worked wonderfully for me. New Leaf Wellness has a lot of different programs they can help with guys out there. Low testosterone, maybe you're battling migraines, looking to lose weight, or maybe you just hit a plateau in your workout system. New Leaf Wellness can help you like they've helped me. What I want you to do, give them a call today, 515-650-1358. That's 650-1358. Give them a call. Let's feel better together. New year right around the corner. It's New Leaf Wellness, 650-1358.
Sponsored by your locally owned Domino's. Domino's $7.99 large three-topping carryout offer is every day. So no matter what day it is, it's always a good day for pizza. Ask for this offer. Availability and charges may apply.
Show them your love, show them you care. Gifts sent as cash, your gift gets there. Come to a store, their hearts will soar. Best gift is cash, gifts they'll adore.
Get your gifting needs wrapped up today with Western Union. For $5, send up to $50 for pickup at over 43,000 U.S. agent locations. This is sending the best gift of all. This is Western Union. Fees and taxes may vary by brand, channel, and location and are subject to change without notice. NMLS 906983.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making My Pillow possible. Years ago, when I invented My Pillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented My Pillow. You can adjust My Pillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines to buy a MyPillow and get another absolutely free. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines.
Cumulus Media Des Moines encourages you to shop local, buy local this holiday season. Our local businesses are the lifeblood of our communities and a major driving force for the local economy, contributing to the tax base, which in turn supports our schools and helps to keep our infrastructure updated. Money spent locally supports all of us here and is very important to maintaining our way of life. 1700 KBGG encourages you to shop local this holiday season. Shop Local is brought to you by these fine local businesses: Bridal Forum, Hilltop Tire Service, and Connett Service. Heating and cooling.
Greater Des Moines Habitat for Humanity's new ReStore is now open in Urbandale. Donations of home improvement items to ReStore are sold to the public to support Habitat's mission of building homes, communities, and hope. So donate, shop, and volunteer at your nearest ReStore on East Euclid or in Urbandale.
Are you sick of the same old tired lunches, leftovers, bad drive-through options? Food Dudes Delivery has your answer. Food Dudes delivers for restaurants that don't offer delivery all across the Des Moines Metro. Order online at fooddudesdelivery.com and get out of the lunch rut today with Food Dudes Delivery. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com. That's fooddudesdelivery.com.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines, or online, washersystems.com.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700.
And welcome back, everybody. We continue here on the Big Talker 1700. Jimmy B and TC all the way until 6 o'clock. Ken Silverstein is our guest, Big Ten Conference Insider. Kenny, how are you? And did you enjoy the world famous Pinstripe Bowl yesterday? Iowa winning over Boston College.
Well, let's just put it this way. It wasn't exactly the most exciting affair, but you know what? It's a W. It's a bowl win. It's a little bit of momentum into next year. Now, obviously, people come and go. You have people graduate. Some are going to move on to the NFL. But, look, it was cold. It was icy. At times, it looked like they were skating on ice, trying to make cuts. But, you win a football game where a quarterback doesn't throw for 100 yards, okay? That's pretty amazing in its own right in today's college football. Defense played real well in the second half, no surprise there. And, Boston College, look, this is not Boston College to Doug Flutie X amount of years ago, as I date myself here, but it's a good bowl win. It's one of two wins so far for the Big Ten. So if you look at it more narrow, kudos to the Hawkeyes. If you look at it maybe a little bit bigger picture with Purdue's very entertaining win last night out in the Bay Area against Arizona, 2-0. We'll see what Michigan State does tonight, 8 o'clock Central Time. So not too shabby. Pretty good start. We'll see what some of these other teams do here over the next few days and nights.
Yeah, good start for the Big Ten, a 2-0 start. And Purdue, I want to get your thoughts. Iowa obviously saw them towards the end of the season, an impressive victory for the Boilermakers. They won that one in Indiana just to get bowl eligible. But how much further can Brohm lead this program? Can he get them back up there and maybe compete for a division title every 4 to 5 years? Is that a realistic expectation for Purdue?
I think you hit on at the very end there, Trent, every 4 or 5 years. I don't know if they can do it consistently. Look, he's done a hell of a job in year one, and you wonder those prior to him why they couldn't do it. Well, they didn't. He comes in from Western Kentucky and takes that offense. Sindelar was tossing, 50-some times last night. Oh, my goodness. It looked like, it looked like human pinball at times. What was he, 33 of 53 for 396 and 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. So, a real good night by Elijah Sindelar for Purdue at quarterback. They have some weapons, but I'm with Trent. I don't think this is something where they can win 9, 10, 11 games consistently. I just don't think they can recruit at that level. But, and here's the almighty disclaimer, until proven otherwise, if you are, in no particular order, Nebraska, Iowa, Purdue, Northwestern. Those seem to be the four that jump out. You're thinking, how do we get to second? How do we challenge Wisconsin? We're going to assume for the time being that Wisconsin's going to continue on this run, and really no reason why not to think that, because they've been doing it now for X amount of years in the West. Could they do it in the East? Very doubtful. But in the West, obviously, they can. So everyone's trying to figure, are those four schools, okay, what do we need to do to get the second, and how quickly can we get the second? What do we need to do to get the second place in the West? What kind of staying power will we have? And then when we prove that we can do all those issues, then how do we slay the Badgers? How do we topple them from numero uno in the West? But the first thing, I think, is how do you separate yourself? Let's make it Iowa. Okay, if you're Iowa, how do you say, how do we say goodbye to Northwestern? How do we say goodbye to Purdue? How do we say goodbye to Nebraska? And, hey, let's row the boat for a moment. How do we say goodbye to Minnesota? How do we separate ourselves from those folks? How do we do it for three, four, five years consistently? And then when we're in that run, a winning 9, 10-ish games a year, then how do we topple the biggest of the bad of the boys in the West? And that would be Wisconsin. So that's what Purdue, Iowa, and others are thinking about. And if you're Wisconsin, I'm not sure you're real worried at this point, because right now the gap, and you guys may disagree a little bit, but the gap's pretty good size between Wisconsin and those, let's say, four other teams that might be able to make a run at them in the West, starting in 18.
Ken Silverstein is our guest on the Big Talker 1700. Kenny, let's just kind of follow up with what you were talking about there. This evening, we've got another Big Ten team in Michigan State matched up against Washington State and the Pirate, Mike Leach. You don't see the kind of offense that Washington State runs very much in the Big Ten, if at all. Does this game, it's like opposites attract. Does this game have the potential, at least on paper, to really be something special just because of the contrasting styles?
Yeah, on paper, you know, you're right on, Jim, that they are vastly different. And it's interesting that you mention, you know, who in the Big Ten compares with Washington State? And just thinking out loud here, and you guys may agree, you may disagree with this. I don't know if there's anybody, but that's not a good enough answer for the time being. Who might be the closest? Wow. How about Penn State? Maybe? What do you think?
Maybe.
That's
yeah.
the only.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I mean,
that just shows you how unique Washington State is. I mean, Luke Falk, I mean, they're going to throw the ball 50 times. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Sindelar did it last night for Purdue. I'd be shocked if Washington State don't throw it 50-plus, okay? I mean, that's just who Coach Leach is. He's got himself a guy who's going to play in the NFL. I don't think he's a first-round draft pick, quite frankly, but he's a pretty good college quarterback and has a shot in the NFL, particularly if he can go to the right team. And to me, if you're Michigan State, and look, Antonio's a smart guy, okay? I think he's one of the elite coaches, not only in the Big Ten, but nationally. He's looking at them and thinking, what's the best thing we can do here? We don't want to get in a shootout. At least I don't think they want to. So let's run L.J. Scott. Okay. Let's throw it a little bit. Let's use a little play action. Let's run the QB a little bit because he can also scoot a little bit for Michigan State. And let's see if we can shrink it a little bit. Let's see if we can control time of possession and limit the opportunities for WSU. If they can, then I think Michigan State has a really good shot of giving the Big Ten, wow, three victories in a row to start postseason competition.
Be a good thing. But the bigger ones still await after that. And, well, the biggest one, I want to get your perspective on Ohio State, USC. Two teams, they were thinking college football playoff when the year began. Motivation, Ken, is always such a big component of bowl games. Who has more motivation to be there? Is it Ohio State or is it USC?
Well, they're both saying the right things for public consumption. And I was saying earlier today to somebody who's a big booster for one of these two schools that you'll know probably by the end of the first quarter, if not earlier than that, who wants to play and who is thinking of the NFL or who's thinking about whether they're going to be getting more playing time in 18, alleged, you know, so forth and so on. So it's an issue. And one of the things, and I don't know about you guys, I've watched basically every one of these bowl games. Now, I can't say that I've watched every minute of every one of these games. I watched some more than others. I watched more of Purdue, Arizona last night because I thought that game would be entertaining. I watched all of Iowa because obviously, you know, we're doing the show here today and I need to do that because it's another Big Ten team. Okay. But two things I've noticed. First of all, the play hasn't been that good from A to Z. Two, guys, no one's showing up to these games. Have you noticed? I mean, there's just like nobody in attendance. Now, look, I understand in New York yesterday, it's super cold. New York's not the greatest college football town that you're going to find, New York City. I get that. But some of these other games, there, you could throw the almighty grenade in. You ain't going to hit nobody, okay? Not to be too graphic on a Thursday. So, I don't know. I think you'll tell early enough. To me, Sam Darnold's going to be number one, number two pick. So the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants are very interested in what he does tomorrow night. They're going to come after him. They are going to run Ohio State. They will use 9-10 different defensive linemen. They got them. They're going to use all of them, okay? And they're going to try to wear down that USC offensive line. And they've been able to do that against Wisconsin. They've been able to do that against Michigan. They definitely did it against Michigan State. Well, Illinois is Illinois at this point. Who they couldn't do it against was Iowa. Okay, Nate stood back there, had time, and threw it all over the yard and had the game of his life. Kudos to him, and obviously the Hawkeyes won by a bunch. But since then, the Ohio State defensive line, they just keep rolling people in and out, and they just wear down these other offensive lines. We'll see if USC can handle it. You didn't ask, but I think you're getting to it. I usually go with the better quarterback, and Sam Darnold is better than JT Barrett, okay? JT Barrett's got huge and gaudy numbers statistically that are going to be there for a long time, not only at Ohio State record book or books, but likewise for the Big Ten in general. But he's not Sam Darnold, okay? He's not a guy that's going to be playing for 10 years in the NFL. And so I think USC is going to win because I think Darnold's that good. But we'll know early on, I'd say by the end of the first quarter, which of these two teams wants to play and who is still disappointed that they're not in the Final Four. You have number five versus number eight in the Cotton Bowl.
Kent, then let's go to Saturday's big matchup, Washington and Penn State. A lot of people like the Huskies in this game. Where are you?
You know what? I like PSU. You know, I like the three-headed monster. I like the quarterback play. Again, I don't think he's an NFL quarterback, but he's a really good, solid collegiate quarterback. We're talking about Trace McSorley, obviously. I want to see Barkley explode. This should be his last college game. Coach Franklin, give him the rock, okay? Stop putzing around here. Stop trying to be smarter than everybody else. Stop trying to be the smartest guy in the room, simply put. Give the ball to a guy who 6 weeks ago would have been a top two or three pick and has slipped now because his numbers haven't looked that good basically since the Iowa game, quite frankly. I might be off a week or so, but I think you see where I'm going with this. I mean, against Ohio State, he gained like 40-plus yards. Okay, I mean, he's too good of a talent to be able to only get 40-some yards in a college football game. We're talking about Barkley. So I think Penn State's going to win. I think it'll be fairly high scoring. I don't think it'll be like the Rose Bowl last year with USC and Penn State. I don't think it's going to be that high scoring, but I think it'll be in the 30s-ish. And I'm going to go away with the pom-poms to the Big Ten. I think they want to reverse what happened. We're talking about Penn State here. Reverse what happened last year in Los Angeles in Pasadena against USC. So I'm going to go with the boys from Happy Valley.
All right, Ken, before we let you run, a little basketball conversation and some breaking news. We've talked about the struggles of the Big Ten, and more bad news for the Big Ten today in hoops as Justin Jackson, the fine forward for Maryland, is out for the rest of the season, torn labrum. Maryland, one of the teams we talked about, hey, maybe a team that could get going here, Cohen, their young point guard. Plenty of talent there. That's going to make it difficult to... Boy, just another bad break in a non-conference schedule that couldn't have gone much worse for the Big Ten.
No, it's not been good. And we've said this, obviously, for many, many weeks. I can't wait. Let's stop playing these non-conference games. Let's get into the conference and hopefully, you know, get, well, obviously Michigan State's the best team. Purdue should be the second best team. And then, as we've said, not to be redundant here, who's third, who's fourth, who's fifth, and go from there. And that's a blow. Maryland is, what, 1-1 in conference, 11-3 overall. You know, right now you have, right now you got 1, 2, 3. You got three teams that are 2-0 in the conference. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think I'm correct. Yes. You got 8 teams that are 1-1. Oh, my goodness. Let's get into conference play. Let's see if anybody, maybe we need to combine these teams. That might help. Can make a run at Purdue and Michigan State. I doubt it. I don't see it. And now with that injury, and that is a nasty injury for Maryland and the Terps, they're going to slide most likely. So that's in a roundabout way. I guess that's good news for Minnesota. That may be good news if Northwestern can get their act together and start to make a little bit of a move, because a lot of folks like them preseason in this conference. I think Ohio State's a year ahead of schedule at this point. Penn State's Penn State. They're still a football school until proven otherwise. So, yeah, you know, the Gophers are probably right now looking at number 3 at this point, along with maybe Michigan. Michigan seems to be playing a little bit better at this point. But this is a man, it is sad to say, this is a 2-conference league. And that really hurts to say, but reality is reality, and it is what it is. Whatever cliche you want to use here, bottom line is it's not good. And these schools, these programs, some of it, like you said, you got an injury, you lose a key guy. They're just going to have to go out and find and compete at a higher level, because you got to win with the Jimmy and the Joes. And right now there aren't enough good enough Jimmy and Joes. And the ones that are out there are, for the most part, playing at Michigan State and Purdue at this point. And that's not good enough. We need more balance in this league right now, and there ain't any balance other than the Big Two.
All right, Kenny, thank you. We are done here. Appreciate it, as always. Have a happy new year, pal.
We'll talk to you in 18 next Thursday.
You got it. That's Ken Silverstein, Big Ten Conference Insider, here on the Big Talker 1700. Makes a lot of sense, particularly when it comes to basketball right there, Trent.
Just a big blow. And
it is.
Who do you like after Michigan State, Purdue? I know you're still a little bit on the Minnesota bandwagon.
I am, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
They're talented. They have no depth. They have no depth at all. And
I know.
That's concerning, especially since we got the conference schedule condensed. I think they're talented probably enough to go 11-7. They're probably going to be in. I'll go with you there. Michigan, yeah. I mean, Beilein, he always deserves, you know, benefit of the doubt. But after that, Ohio State, they're playing a lot better earlier than I anticipated. Holtman, that kid's a good coach. He really is. Came in from Butler, and he really people forget, you know, just what an odd situation he took over there at Butler. Their coach before left under a shroud of secrecy, you know, what was going on with him. So Butler was not the Butler that it was under Stevens, what it was under Thad Matta and Licklider. It had taken a step back, and he was able to resurrect that. I think they're ahead of schedule, but I still don't think Ohio State's good enough to get to 11 wins. He mentioned Northwestern. I'm not there. Did you see them last week, last Friday night against Oklahoma? They were awful.
Yes, they were terrible. I mean, Oklahoma blew them out. Trey Young just, like, went off and just, well, he goes off on just about everybody. But still, they were, like, blown away in the first half. It was over at halftime.
Rutgers has a nice win against Seton Hall, but they're still a long ways away.
Right.
Penn State, you know, just the inconsistency out of them. They took a bad loss last week. You know, I was going to give victories. They've dug themselves such a deep hole, though. I just, 4? Maybe 5?
Maybe, yeah. No more than that, unless there's, you know, unless some team all of a sudden hits the gas and they start to, you know, reel off victory after victory. I mean, others than the 4 that we just discussed.
Yeah. But it's not going to be just, hey, if you get to 500 in the conference this year, you'll get it. That's not the case.
No.
All these teams have gone through so much. And those 9 victories, not going to be a lot of quality victories in there. It's a down year in the Big Ten. And then on the other side, you have the Big 12 and the depth. Quite the contrast this season with the 2 conferences we follow the most.
You're not kidding. Big 12 is absolutely stacked. Absolutely stacked. And there's a lot of talk that they'll get 8 teams in, maybe 9. If that happens, That would be amazing. And I remember that you and I revisited, was it the Big East back then when they had like 16 teams and they got like 10 in? Was that right?
Got 11 of their 16.
11, yeah.
That's the high water mark in terms of percentage of teams, I think, getting in, and certainly, obviously, the number of teams. But we got to get a break here. We got Derek Peck coming up on the other side. We're going to talk some Hawkeyes with him. How's that sound?
I'm ready. Let's do it. Listen, like I said at the beginning of the program, I really enjoyed the game, particularly the second half. So, yeah, let's get Derek in here, and we'll relive Iowa snapping that five-bowl loss streak and claiming a victory in the Pinstripe Bowl.
We'll do it coming up on the other side as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Jimmy B and TC here, 1700 KBGG. Welcome back once again. It's Jimmy B and TC here, 1700 KBGG. We'll take you up until 6 o'clock here this evening. Joining us right now to take a look back at the Iowa Bowl victory over Boston College, Derek Peck from Hawkeye Heaven. Our conversations with Derek presented by Murphy Tower Service, taking applications right now for their apprenticeship program. You can find all the information at murphytower.com. It's Murphy Tower Service down in Carlisle. Earn while you learn with the apprenticeship program at Murphy Tower Service and murphytower.com. What's happening, DP?
Not much, guys. I am just I'm just soaking up the feeling of Iowa winning the bowl game. It's been a while.
It has been. It's
yes, it has.
You got to go all the way back to the win against Missouri back in the Insight Bowl. That game a little bit warmer down in Phoenix than the conditions. And you know what, Derek? A lot of people have been talking about that, the bowl game. I guess the good news is that Iowa, well, their turn is out of the way. They won't have to go back to that one for at least the next 4 years.
Right. Yeah. You know, I've been, like I was telling you a few minutes ago, that I've been running errands all day, so I haven't been able to pay much attention to the social media world, but I've seen a lot of people complaining and saying that they wish the Big Ten would just pull out of that arrangement with the Pinstripe Bowl because of the conditions of the field. And, you know, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. The weather is awful. And, you know, I think they, by the looks of it, they're just lucky nobody got seriously injured.
Well, you got to remember, it's the same for both teams as well. It's just not an Iowa thing. Look, this was an opportunity to snap that dismal five-game losing streak against a team that lined up pretty much just like Iowa does, and they were able to accomplish that. I mean, if you're an Iowa fan, you bitched about the conditions and the bowl game and only 1,000 people bought tickets and all of that, and now you're like partying because your team won the bowl. I mean, isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
Yeah, you know, that's what makes the bowl game. I've heard a lot of debates about whether or not there should be this many bowl games, and you know, a lot of people making the argument that none of these bowl games really mean anything other than the four teams that get picked, you know, but to play for the national championship. But to me, it's more football and it's fun, and it is, you know, it was fun. I was at a sports bar up in Ankeny called Tanner's, and you know, everybody was having a blast watching the game. It gives us one more chance to watch the Hawkeyes, and you know, I really don't see any reason to be negative about all the extra games just because I'm such a football fan that it gives me more football to watch, and I'm much more of a college football fan than I am NFL now. I will say that it would be nice if they went to like a 64-team playoff, but I'm not sure that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, I don't think we're going to see that one. You're right, anytime soon that'll be happening. We're talking right now with Derek Peck from Hawkeye Heaven. Derek, jumping into kind of big picture, getting that past the bowl schneid now, that is no longer a conversation piece. It's something that I think was important for this program, but how big is it in your mind?
Getting the victory?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's huge. I think you could see it on Cook's face after the game, just the sense of relief. I mean, you lose five bowl games in a row, that's a big trend. And, you know, it didn't sound like in the last few years that they've really changed anything about the preparation that they've gone or done going into the bowl games. So you really would have had to look at things and assess what's happening if they would have reached six games, and I know the fan base would have been just pulling their hair out. You know, that game was, I think, what most people expected it to be. It was a game featuring two teams that are very similar, and you know, statistically speaking, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at the stats, but if you just look at the stats, you'd think that Iowa got their butt whooped. You know, obviously the one, you know, turnovers being the one thing that helped Iowa out tremendously. But, you know, statistically speaking, Boston College produced much more on the offensive side of the ball, and Iowa's defense struggled to stop Dillon, who was a stud running back. You know, he was who we thought he was going to be, but Iowa's defense was able to force some big turnovers, and yeah, you know, I think it's huge for Kirk. I think it gives them momentum. They've already been doing really well on the recruiting trail, and you know, hopefully this will help them continue that momentum and land some bigger guys here come up the final signing period.
You know, at the end of the first half, they had only 57 yards. And I went on some of the Hawkeye message boards to see what they were commenting. I mean, it was unbelievable. Fire the coach. The offensive coordinator sucks. This team's terrible. Never should have gone to New York. Who cares about this game? Then at the end, it's like, oh, my God, we won. We won. And everybody was celebrating. Look, Ferentz needed this one. The players, nice to send them out with a bowl victory, those seniors, because they haven't experienced one. So there was a lot of good that really came out of this game.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, you know, I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older now or because we've, you know, we tried everything with Black and Cardinal Divide and we wanted to have the forums on there. And I don't dare go to the forums right now. Jimmy, I mean, that was brave of you to do that. I know, I'm sure that Hawkeye fans on forums were having a meltdown at halftime because of how awful the offense looked in the first half. But that's, you know, that's been Iowa's offense for a long time now. And, you know, they made the changes necessary at halftime and they came out and took care of business in the second half. And, you know, but that is one thing that's nice about Hawkeye Heaven and what we've transitioned into is, we've kind of decided to go against the forums and, I'm just a more positive guy by nature, so I think it kind of makes me feel better because we tend to have a pretty positive opinion on things, and certainly don't have to deal with all of the knuckleheads that can be running rampant on message boards.
Yeah, they're all over the place. There's no doubt about yep. that. Derek, jumping into a more big picture view, as you look at this program going forward, it was a young team, a true sophomore quarterback. We saw the young tackles get a lot more experience here. When you look at the future, everyone is chasing Wisconsin, obviously, in the Big Ten West, and then there's still the mountain to climb with Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and Michigan State over from the East. But do you feel like Iowa's got another uptick in them coming up the next year or two?
Yeah, I mean, you know, historically speaking, they're due. You know, that kind of seems to be the roller coaster ride that is Iowa football under Kirk Ferentz. Is it's just kind of steady, and then they have a really good season, and then they kind of drop back down, and then so they do. And I think that the talent's there. You know, Stanley needs to be more consistent. They've got to figure out a way to start games, you know, a little bit faster on the offensive side of things. They've really struggled in the first half, and but I think Stanley grew a lot. You know, I've stopped and thought about that. Just in terms of this season and the way he looked early on in the season and then his ability towards the end of the season to start completing some of those deep balls and just calming down. And I think he grew a lot this year. I think he has a high ceiling. And, you know, the bottom line is they need to get some playmakers in the wide receiver position. And you know, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see what was out there, but Nick Easley's dad tweeted today, either tweeted or Facebook post, that Easley had in the Nebraska game suffered two broken ribs, stayed in the game, and found out after the game that one of his broken ribs had punctured his lung. He played last night with a flak jacket on, and he was actually hospitalized after the Nebraska game. The U of I hospital didn't have any rooms available. He actually stayed at the Stead Family Children's Hospital, and he had a room that overlooked Kinnick Stadium. So he was actually hospitalized for 2 or 3 days with a punctured lung. From a broken rib, and then the kid toughs it out with a flak jacket on and really came up with a huge catch for the Hawks last night. And, you know, I mean, he's just a classic prototypical Hawkeye, but that doesn't change the fact that they really could use some deep playmaking threats at the wide receiver position. It's always nice to have guys like Nick Easley, too, but They need to get some deep threats too, and I think they may have some of those coming in, and we'll see. You know, I mean, Amir Smith-Marset too didn't play last night. He's another young guy that I think has a bright future.
We're having a conversation right now with Mr. Peck, Derek Peck. Cody is his brother, so we're talking Hawkeyes. I'm curious, there's a certain defensive back that plays for Iowa who has a decision to make. Do you think he's already made it?
If I was him, I would have, yeah. I mean, I don't think that it would be... I just think he has to take his opportunity to go. I mean, he's being projected as a first or second round pick, and mm-hmm. you know, I mean, the shelf life on those things is short, and you know, you're one injury away from losing that opportunity. So I think that he's going to go. I think that's a smart choice, and I would support him in doing that. I think that, you know, historically speaking, again, Kirk Ferentz usually is in favor of guys doing that when it makes sense for them to do so, and certainly with him being projected to go that high, it would make sense for him to make that jump. I hate to see it, but I think he'll go.
Well, and the other decision out there is what James Daniels is going to do. I saw one of the ESPN, maybe it was McShay, had him at number 35 overall on his prospect list, yeah. Which surprising for an interior offensive lineman. You don't see that very often, but we know a very talented guy had offers from Alabama, Ohio State coming out. That might be a decision that isn't quite as easy, but boy, you get a grade like that, the injuries that he's already had, you got to figure he's got to take a big look at it too.
You're right. Yeah, and that actually might end up being, you know, just with the way Iowa's had luck with defensive backs lately, I think James Daniels leaving could actually impact them more than Josh Jackson, you know, but that's just because of the depth that they seem to develop in the backfield on defense and you know, the offensive line was supposed to be a strength this year, and I think you could make an argument that it was a little bit of a disappointment. So certainly James Daniels being a bright spot, and the kid just has a ton of potential. So I'm not surprised that he's being mentioned, you know, by those draft gurus. But yeah, I mean, that's one I haven't spent a whole lot of time thinking about. But you're right, he could be a big loss for the Hawks if he decided to take that step. And again, with his injury history, you can't blame him if he were to do that.
All right, before we let you run, a little hoop conversation. Connor McCaffrey, emergency tonsillectomy at his age. I can identify with that because I had mine out when I was 21. That was awful. I'm sure the kid's not enjoying life at the moment. It feels like you swallowed razor blades. A lot of talk, though, by Fran about he'll probably redshirt. Do you think that'll probably be the way that this finally goes down?
I mean, I think so, especially if Fran's talking about that. You know, Connor has really had a rough start to the season. You get mono, and then you get tonsillitis, I haven't had my tonsils removed, but I've heard the older you are, or closer to adulthood that you are anyways, the harder it is to recover from that type of a surgery. So he's probably not feeling too hot right now, and I mean, I think that's the way that it's looking, and it's tough because he really was providing a calm hand at the guard position that they really needed. They were struggling mightily in that losing stretch with turnovers and Bohannon was, you know, getting smothered coming up the court. So it's a tough loss. Does end up redshirting or, you know, being out for the rest of the season, but they'll just have to figure out a way to get it done. And I think, you know, at least Daly has been a bright spot in these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Mishi Daly, his play has at least given a little bit of hope here in Iowa. They got to continue finding ways to win games. It opens up starting tomorrow, non-conference play, the finale of that one against Northern Illinois, and then two games at home with Michigan and Ohio State next week on Tuesday, Thursday. Got to be ready. And they've dug themselves such a deep hole. Win, win, win. And, well, maybe we'll see where this team is here in about a month or so.
Yeah, and they've got... I was just looking at the schedule before talking to you guys, and they've got a tough three-game stretch to open up the Big Ten Conference. And, you know, I'll be honest, I haven't watched a whole lot of other Big Ten teams play this year. So I was just looking at their records. But, boy, with Michigan, Ohio State, you know, I mean, you're looking at games that could very easily end up being in the loss column. I think they could realistically start out the Big Ten Conference 0-3, but you know, before meeting up with Illinois. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, I was high on this team coming into this season, but right now I'm just not sure what to think. And even this Northern Illinois team that they play tomorrow, you know, they only lost to Iowa State by 14. They kept that game pretty close for the most part. And, you know, if you look at some of their other results, they've managed to keep it close with some pretty good competition. So I'm not sure what to expect there either. I think Iowa will win, but, you know, the point spreads that I've seen are around 15, and I would be surprised if they cover 15 points.
That's Derek Peck from our friends over at HawkeyeHeaven.net. Derek, as always, good catching up with you. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for your time.
We'll talk to you guys in 2018.
Yes, right around the corner coming up. Have a good one, Derek.
Have a good night.
So that will do it for the show today. Jimmy B, bowl games continue on tonight. And, well, as we get ready for it, which game of the two this evening you looking most forward to? What's going to jump out to you? What's going to have your clicker more into? Stanford, TCU, or Washington State, Michigan State?
Well, I really have a high interest in Mike Leach and that high-powered offense of Washington State. I want to see how they do against that extremely difficult Michigan State defense. Michigan State doesn't play any teams that play that spread the way that Washington State plays it. And Washington State's defense, can they stop Michigan State's running game? This one is the classic of opposites attract. So for me, at least on paper, that game looks to be highly entertaining. Look, I'm going to be watching TCU and Stanford as well. You know me. I love the running back. I love the running. Okay, I guess I can say it like that. The running back at Stanford. But TCU's defense, we talk about it all the time. So this is a good night, Trent. It really is with a couple of really solid games.
And we got a lot more coming up on tomorrow's program.
Oh, yeah.
We get ready for the bowl game, Liberty Bowl for Iowa State. Big 12 conference play will begin. It'll be a busy one on a football Friday, of course, week 17 of the NFL as well. That'll do it for the program here today. We'll be back tomorrow starting at noon. I'll be running solo. Ken Miller down in Memphis for the Liberty Bowl. We'll get you ready with the football program on a Friday here. Noon to 2 and 4 to 6. Local programming on your dial. 1700 KBGG.